Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. The first kick hour is broadcast on which isn't like the city. Yeah, I am. And I studio 91433. I am posting the show as we speak. And I post all set up. It's not here, but I'm doing that now. And we are waiting for some callers to come in. Again, 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Also, I'm talking about posting. What we hope that you do is follow us on Facebook and on X, formerly known as Twitter, as well as Blog Talk Radio. And you may do that by finding or going to our homepage, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic. And I'm realizing that our profile picture is sideways again, which probably because the file is too big. And I don't know how to fix that, actually. Look, all of sideways.
Was that a movie?
Yeah, it should be.
We've had too much wine.
Yeah, Sideways is a movie, but all of this sideways is not a movie. And I am going to open the chat room as well. So like I was saying, it's a 50-50 gamble whether we'll be able to broadcast or not. But today we're in. So exciting.
So, do we have any callers yet?
No, not yet.
Well, that gives us an opportunity to talk. And that's what psychic information is all about. Talking about talking. I want to distinguish between what is a intuitive as opposed to being what is psychic.
Yes, actually, great idea.
We won't
idea.
Mention any names.
Great idea.
But there are people who claim to be psychic, and relatively speaking, they are psychic. But what they are, they're acute intuitives.
Yeah, there is a
difference.
They have
such a high degree of intuition.
Well, there may be something.
Wait a minute. They have high degree of intuition that they can tap into an astral realm. Or the astral realm of a person or within themselves and assume that they're actually speaking to an outside entity. They give information, they sort of beat around the bush and they probe and they ask and they come up with certain significant things. A highly intuitive person can do this. Than actually speaking to a spirit who says, I don't want you to say a word. Your mother's name is Shirley. She has a tattoo on her left elbow. She was in a car crash. She lingered for 4 days. She wants to tell you that she doesn't want that rose sitting on the mantle anymore. I mean, it gets really specific. They don't do like, someone may have died. and they suffered a little bit and loved you, and they flower, you know, they kind of get vague, and then they grow. And then of course the receivers are kind of filling in the gaps. I mean, this has happened in readings we've done too, but it doesn't mean to say that a psychic can't give an intuitive reading. A psychic can give an intuitive reading, but that's an intuitive reading. When you're giving a totally psychic reading, or you're supposed to be a medium, you are giving information without asking questions. And the information is acute. I mean,
it's darling.
It's even beyond, you know, I'm feeling a gunshot. That's intuition. Now, you said, his name is George, and he was shot by Albert. Now, that's psychic. So there's a difference. We're not down to it. Like I said, we get in that area as well. But there is a difference.
I do want to make
between,
a point.
It's like a doctor doing a splint or a doctor doing open heart surgery.
Oh, well. Okay, splint, cast, open heart surgery. But I do want to say that, yes, sometimes even if you're getting an heard you in things many times, present psychic information that you are really getting from a spirit, you're in communication with spirit, you may present as a question to the subject. I mean, that doesn't mean you're giving an intuitive reading because you present something as a question.
No, I'm deliberately, yeah, that's different. I'm deliberately presenting it as a question.
So, you know.
And then I'll inform the person.
Right.
That the question was really coming from
information. So, right.
I don't know why I do that. Sometimes
I do it too. But I mean, I do it too.
But I've given intuitive readings without being totally psychic, and I've given psychic readings. It all depends. I equate it to like a doctor saying, you know, this can be cured by minor surgery, or no, we've got to go into deep surgery. But it all falls under the category of being a doctor, or it all falls under the category of at least being intuitive, which sometimes gets confusing. We all have it. It's in our genes. Some of this will say, I can't even tell you what day it is tomorrow, more or less. So some people just have the capability, but there is a seed in all of us. If you've got a brain, you're going to have some kind of intuition, because there is part of the brain that conducts that kind of intuitive, instinctive level of energy. We all share it.
Well, I mean, we were obviously watching something last night that sparked the conversation. We won't say what show it was, but this person, there was some psychic. I'll just give an example. I'm not going to even use the. I'm going to say, you know, a lizard. This person. I mean, this is not what the person said, because I don't want to. I don't want to out the show or the person, and you know, be publicly criticizing a specific individual. So this is not even what the person said, but the person said, oh, a lizard. And the people said, oh, she proceeded to say, the lizards to me represent, I don't know what the person said they represent,
yeah,
but
they represent
there was
something, and he was feeling a lizard, seeing a lizard change.
It was kind of very general.
Very general.
And the person, oh my God, there was a lizard tattoo, that really makes sense. But the problem was, there is in the person that crossed, I mean, there was some information, you know, about the age of the person, that it was someone who was of a specific age group. And I think the psychic mentioned something about what ultimately took her life. I think she mentioned that, well, what are you doing, Olive? She just did like a waterfall leap. Olive did. That's unusual for Olive. there were things that were mentioned. There were things that were mentioned, but ultimately he really turned it over to the people that he was reading to tell him what happened to this person. And that's where it got like sideways to me. Speaking of sideways.
Yeah.
It was like, what? And they tell the whole story instead of that person needing to be psychic and get more information.
This person's tapping the lizard tattoo on their left shoulder and telling you a funny story about when they got it. It was 12 o'clock at night, and they all woke up and just had a whimsy to go to a tattoo parlor and get the tattoo. Now that, you know, lizards represent this. Oh my God, she had a lizard. That's intuitive, perhaps.
Maybe a little more on the leaning psychic edge. In inner reading, what we did on air the other day, I said to the person, well, it was from, you got something from her voice. And she said, yes, that's true. And then I'm getting a fruit tree. I'm getting an apple tree, but I couldn't place the apple tree. I said, I feel like, it's coming from somewhere in your youth. But I said, do you have a fruit tree in your property now? Or is there a fruit tree? She says, we had an apple tree growing up. Now you could say, well, that was intuitive. I mean, you could criticize my reading.
That form of intuition from so-called psychics would be like a doctor giving you a body exam and tapping this and tapping that. Because when they do it, it's more informative than if just a layman did it. They're looking for certain things and feeling certain things. I had a doctor just do a, I must have been in my teens. I had a doctor just do me a body exam. And he goes, oh, you had a compound fracture on your right arm. Now, how did he know that?
Well, because probably he could feel the bone the way it healed or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, that now I equate that to being an intuitive. Intuitive can pick up things. But, I mean, he couldn't say, you broke it during football when you were 14. No, he didn't go that far. He would have been psychic. But
obviously. He's not going to do that.
But he said, well, you broke your bone. But he couldn't go any further.
But, you know, going on further in that reading, because that reading was very psychic, I mean, there were names that came in. Now, these common names, yes, but there were also names that came in for me that were not common. Noreen, Marta, who's fucking name Marta? Noreen, that's not a common name. No. And they were specific, and then it was like, I mean, it was very specific to the reason that this person had called, and, you know, it was all involved in, they were pertinent, very pertinent to the reason she was calling. She didn't even realize it until till it was brought in. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, even this subject that we're talking about said, you know, you get better with practice and you learn from experience and you learn how to interpret things better. And, you know, sometimes I get a vibration. I have to try to figure out what it means. And it's related to walking into world and then defining it, classifying it as gaining experience, gaining maturity, gaining insight, learning past readings, and then you kind of follow a record of your experiences. So that would be like an actor times in movies that now they can improvise, and a lot of scenes you see in movies are improvised now because they've got a knack for it, as opposed to being totally involved in improvisational theater, and they just have, that's all they do. But that, you see, that's called a creative flow of consciousness. When you have a creative flow of consciousness on a psychic level or an intuitive level, you're bound to capture words, images, events
that will
cycle
fit
into the subject matter. So a lot of it is part of the human experience. I've done readings for highly skeptical people, and they were very accurate. And their explanation to me was, well, yeah, you have an extraordinary ability. I don't know if I'd call you psychic. I would say that's in the realm, that's in a higher realm of intuition and being a person. I don't know if you're really talking to anybody, but I think that being a doctor or a scientist, the brain can absorb certain things and we can capture certain things. Otherwise, we wouldn't have dreamers or writers or visionaries or people who analyze government, people who make predictions. They capture it all within the capacity of what the brain is able to do. And I agree with that. For all we know, when we cross, there may be nobody there and it was all captured in the cosmic energy of our brain. There's no real direct proof. We have facsimiles of proof. We have replications of proof by saying a name and that was who crossed over. But even this person would admit, are you really? I mean, I believe I'm talking to people, but am I really talking to people? Huh? I won't know. You can't know. You're in the physical body. How do you know for sure? I mean, I can look outside and see it's raining and say, well, it's raining. I see it's raining.
Because I don't think this person is really talking to people. I don't think it's a question. If you're a psychic or a purported psychic and you're questioning whether you're having intuitive hits based on, you know, whatever interaction there is with your subject versus psychic information that's coming in from a psychic place or three, you're actually communicating with people that have crossed over or angels or whatever, spirits. There's a distinction and you're not really, you don't question. He is not talking to anybody. I don't believe. Now, I don't think this person is, I don't think, you know, my vibe is not that this person is a fraud. I don't think this person is a fraud. I think he's talented on some level. And I think that fame, I think that he got famous.
He or she,
right. Based on some of his extraordinary hits.
His or her.
Or her. Extraordinary hits. I just, you know, something in her karma.
His.
Jeez, I can't like complete a sentence, please. It's really irritating. something in her karma or his.
Or it.
Yeah. Right.
So,
you know, made this person very lucky.
I mean, people
and got fame. But I don't think this, it, you know, some psychics out there that are on TV, I think you're a fraud. There's someone they flipped by last night that was burning sage and on the show, literally did, and was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? But this other individual that we're speaking of, I don't think is a liar. I just think that this person got famous and is kind of swimming through, like, you know, seaweed, the seaweed of the psychic world. You know, I don't think.
You know, I used to just because it was expected.
I don't think this person knows what's going on the other side. She doesn't know.
Well.
He admits it. Well, I don't really know what happens after
he
dies.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know and he admits it.
She doesn't know.
It.
They don't know. Them don't know.
But I don't think
us don't know.
I don't think this person is a dishonest person. I think I get a good vibe.
Oh,
as
I think
far
they're
as,
sincere.
I think it's
and I think
sincere. They're sincere, and there's a talent there, but not. I just think prematurely famous.
In my years, who became famous on TV. And when I was training them, they knew nothing from nothing except they had an interest and a vague idea. And I taught them they were
apple.
close your eyes.
Coming from a place of complete ignorance, but learning, willing to learn. And, you know, karma was such that when they became famous. Okay. So when, you know, he doesn't know about the other side.
She
doesn't know it, us, them, whoever. Communist, you know, atheist, whatever. So in general speaking, we'll just say the vicinity doesn't understand. What they don't understand is you don't leave with the earth. You don't leave with your pencil, your books, your you know, I'm holding, oh, he's holding the book. Oh, he's up there smoking a cigar. Oh, he's rocking. There's no rocking chairs up there. There's no cigars.
No.
There's no
lazy
fishing
boy,
holes.
No lazy boys.
No, there's nothing. They are in an energy field as far. When I astral project, there may be objects that I experience in the astral realm that's like a Disneyland ride. That's called the past, present, future. And you go into the realm and you see earthly energies. But when you are outside of the body and you no longer attach to the cord, there is no object identification. You're in the astral world. They don't have shoemakers and bars and rodeos up there. There's nothing in
rodeos.
There.
Rodeos, why would you even mention that?
That pertains
rodeos.
To the earth.
Rodeos.
Now, they can move into the earth atmosphere when they're connecting to people and they're using the energy of those people to reconnect to the earth. But when they are a part of the earth, apart from the earth, verb, they are in a different region of energy, and they don't have a voice box, they don't have anything. So the communication,
right, the way
it'd be like listening to a whale, and the guy says, well, the whale says, you know, I made a left turn at the Atlantic Ocean, and the Baltic was really, that's what he went with.
Right, so the communication is right, exactly. It's not words, but it's interpreted. I mean, it's translated, not interpreted. It's translated to words by the reader. It's, hold on a sec. Can I say talk without you interrupting what I'm saying?
I didn't interrupt anything.
No,
you
made a motion.
Oh, hand motions are part of sign language.
So what I'm saying is,
you're interrupting.
Well, no, you're interrupting me. What I'm saying is, in agreement with you, no, there's symbolism in a reading of what a spirit reader is in order to connect with the person that they're doing the reading with, not because they're up there, you know, playing badminton.
Yeah. I mean,
Well,
the reason I
him, her,
to call it.
It's, we have two people listening, and it's,
I
it's
don't
two
know
people.
Simple.
I don't worry about it. I will take care of it. But we probably are going to bring 630 on, because I believe that person is going to want to speak with us. 519, I think, is listening and in chat. That's okay.
Well,
but we can bring on this caller, but we final thoughts before we bring on the caller.
Never want to talk about final thoughts.
Final thoughts before we bring on the caller. Okay, please. Is there anything you want to say before I bring on the caller?
No.
Okay.
On the call.
All right.
Hi,
Dion.
I feel like people that call Blog Talk don't know how to, like, they don't know that they need to press 1.
I do say it at the beginning of the show, but sometimes, yeah, they come in at the middle of the show. And I know that you're just kind of waiting. You yourself don't press 1 sometimes because you're just, you know, being respectful or whatever of our conversation or if there's other callers, blah, blah, blah. So. But I do tell people to press 1.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I do. Okay. So go ahead.
Because I'd rather you take, like, the new ones or people that
I know
are virgin or whatever. Okay.
I know.
So yesterday.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Yesterday I went to court.
Yeah, I got some of your messages. I didn't listen to everything. But go ahead.
So yesterday's court was about my siblings and the four people that were attacking me online. And what happened was is the family's lawyer, the judge dismissed everything, which was fine, because I met with the family lawyer after the hearing. And he told me that the same people were harassing my family. So they didn't know like what this was all about. And so I told them it was because of the Aaron Carter case. Cause that's what they do. There's like this online keyboard warrior, like people. Anyway. So my family's lawyer said that he was going to send that lady a letter to cease and desist because she's like copywriting their logo and stuff online and using it, but they didn't know how this person even knew them.
The family. So so essentially what you did was you had contact, you tried to get restraining or no contact order for people in your family and people that have been harassing you online, but you came to find out after the hearing, because you didn't know where the harassment was coming from for sure, but what happened after the hearing is that you talked to your family's lawyer and they were also being harassed and by these people. So now you know it wasn't coming from your family, but it was coming from these online people. Your family has nothing to do with the harassment that you've been undergoing. I mean, they've been harassed.
Right.
They're victims. Yeah, they're not harassing
but we didn't
you.
Even know that.
Online. I know. So
like,
I understand.
Yeah.
You said on a message, you said, I didn't win. I didn't get the order of protection, but it all worked out. So I didn't understand quite what you meant. But now I do. And then you have a lawyer, not your lawyer, but your family's lawyer, who's going to send a cease and desist letter on behalf of your family, and hopefully that will also, is he going to include you in that letter? I mean, since he's not your attorney, can he, or is he willing to?
Well, what he told me was if I have more problem with this or whatever, if like she's doing it, or if I have a problem, I need to adjust the family. He said not to go to court, just to call him, since I'm in Asheville now and my family didn't know where I was. Yeah, right. I don't believe that, but okay. And so, you know, basically, like, if I have a problem and I need to notify the family, I can contact him and he'll go and talk to them for me, because we're not trying to get back into court with anything. You know what I mean? Like, I told him yesterday, I'm like, I don't speak with my siblings, but just let them know, like, I'm not trying to sue them or anything like that, you know, and I want peace in the family on my dad's behalf. It's what my dad would want, a united front. And so, like, I accept the fact that basically, like, you know, this is my life now, but I'm not trying to cause trouble. But I did move on in life, and with my, you know, recent, you know, covering a celebrity came with a little bit of fame, and I'm out there now, and my name's out there, and they want to know who the family is because I wrote the other book. And they're going to want family interviews and try to discredit me if they can, so just be on the lookout. But, you know, this is what's happening. Hopefully just shutting it down, you know, it'll go through the grapevine that, like, I actually stand up for myself. So it's just going to be a thing, like, on and off or whatever. I don't know.
Dion, whenever a person goes to court, you have to kind of root it to past life karma. So the fact that you've been to, not everyone goes to court. There are people who escape court throughout their whole lives. Then there are people who go to court for certain reasons, you know, obviously drunk driving, whatever. But whenever one appears in court, you have to examine the content of the past life that brought you to there, because a court is essentially a judgment panel, a judicial panel, and they have courts in primitive tribes, They had superiors that judged and passed sentences. Courts come from a very, very deep primitive energy regarding judgment. And when you get into the form of judgment, you can even go to biblical judgment. You can go to all forms of judgment. And then when you have judgment, you have the way you individualize judgment. Well, you use judgment. Should I go out today? It's raining. Should I go after that saber-toothed tiger? You use forms of judgment in terms of evaluating your survival skills. Now, can you recall how many times you've been in court?
Oh, wow. Hundreds?
Well,
hundreds?
That's exaggerating.
No, because I was facing 17 lawsuits in 8 years, so at least 100 times.
Well, that's a lot, yeah.
Now, you said 17 lawsuits. Now, look, 12 plus 5 is 17.
Mm-hmm. And that's my birthday.
Yeah.
And your 8 is captured in your 28 equals 10 equals 1. So, you see, we're interpreting according to your active linear code. You're talking off of a code. So your 17 lawsuits, it appears to be karmically connected. And because some of it has to do with writing a book, there's your 5 for your 5th chakra. Now, your reflection of energy results to the extent that the 28, that is your karmic number, 28101, going backwards, 1973 is a 2 and 521 is an 8. So you've come back to mirror, reflect on all your past life episodes, which includes the process of writing and communication, which also involves the area of invasion. Now, if you have invasion of property, that's different than you going to court because somebody threw a rock through your window. They're invading your websites. They're invading your emails, whatever you've got going on.
So it's digital.
It's digital invasion, which has to do with plagiarism, invasion of copyright. You see, it's on a literal level. I mean, you've had a few maybe minor altercations physically, but a lot of your troubles.
Well, she has with her family.
Yeah.
Really physical.
Because of the 1 and because of the 11-2, that's going to bring out the physicality. So it's a captured in your energy, not to mention the fact
five.
That you're compounded.
Those are the 5.
But everything you're saying can be explained in the depth of your birthday code and unraveling the symbolisms as we speak.
Well, 111 is a number that follows me all the time. And so that 28101 is 111, which is an angel number. And, I couldn't help. I had to go to court. That's just what I had to do.
I'll tell you, it's really funny. I just got a text, and so I your name with spelling bee said 111 is this person's score calling in the bee buddy. I just saw this text as you said 111. That's weird. Anyway,
what's the bee buddy?
Bee buddy is like the so there's a game called spelling bee, and you have to make as many. You can utilizing this 5 of word of letters, but every word has to contain the 7 letter in the hive. And so when the Bee Buddy is a guide that the New York Times puts out to assist in, you know, if you can't get to the queen bee level, there's hints, clues, and it shows a graph of where you're at. If you have a subscription, you know, in terms of where you are in that specific game of being, you know, are you at what level you're at, and then how many words you need to get in order to get every word. But anyway, that's the score this person was at, 111. And that was just, but anyway.
Well, when I was a child, I won the spelling bee. And that was in second grade. And then, what was the other thing that you said? The spelling bee and, I don't know. I'm just connecting, I guess, with your listener, too. Hello? Hey, Kristen, it's me. I don't know what happened. I can't hear you. Oh, there was something about the spelling bee and something else.
Okay, we're back on. We're back on. We are back on.
Well, such are the circumstances of free radio to the public.
Well, it's not free for us. I mean,
no,
it's free for the public.
The public.
Yeah, but that means nothing. We pay for it, and this is just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Blog Talk Radio is not the perfect format.
No, it isn't.
And
it,
but it's the one we use, and we do what we can.
And it's the one we've paid for the year, so I'm going to take advantage of at least the rest of the year that we have, because we have another year of the subscription. And at that point...
We've been on the air for what, 14 years?
12 years.
Oh, we started 2012.
It's 2024.
Oh, 12 years, yeah. 12 years. Well,
I haven't been here
years.
14 years.
So... we're about to be confirmed.
No, you wouldn't be confirmed. Maybe bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah, but confirmation is not 14. It's 16 now.
Oh, now it's 16?
It's 16, yeah. You're a junior in high school when you go through confirmation.
I thought Catholics got...
That's when you were, like, in high school. It's all changed. Vatican II changed things. I don't know if Vatican II changed confirmation rules, but the reason why is that 14-year-olds really don't have the maturity to make the adult decision of being confirmed. So they up the age to 16 because 16-year-olds are so much more mature than 14-year-olds.
Oh, I wonder if Neil Sedaka did that song.
No, so but it's 16. I was 16.
It was a happy confirmation, sweet 16.
Happy confirmation, sweet 16.
Yeah.
I was 16 when I was confirmed, almost 17.
She was only 16.
Maybe I was 15. God. No, you know what? I was 15. It was 15, I think. 15 or 16, I don't know. 15.
Okay, so is Dionne talking to us?
No, she didn't come back.
Oh.
So anyway, we were talking about being psychic. We can get back to that. If we want.
You know, I mean, it's not like Pepsi. I'm a psychic, you're a psychic, everyone. But we do have ability. All of us have an ability to, I mean, as soon as you have an opinion about something, you're entering the front door of being a psychic. Because psychics are much less an advanced, elevated opinion that's derived from something outside of the mind. But the mind is receiving it. Now, when you have an opinion about something, and there's a magazine opinion, when you have an opinion about something, it's usually derived from an outside source. I mean, most of our conversation is derived from outside sources. Our language is derived from listening to outside sources and mimicking the language and then formulating from that mimicking what the word means. Usually, it starts off mama, dada, poo-poo, all that
Neil.
Kind of thing that comes from the basics of communicating a sound with a meaning. Now, when we go up the scale of communication, we obviously develop a broader range of vocabulary relating to the subject matters around us so we can identify things. Go bye-bye, TV. We say words And the words are supposed to encompass the whole meaning of what the child is trying to convey. So go bye-bye means out the door, outside. But they're not relating that until they develop a higher sense of consciousness. So when psychics or intuitives say, I'm seeing a butterfly, and, you know, butterflies remind me of this, they're really mimicking the early stages of learning how to speak. It's really no different, except that they're now higher on the ladder of intellectual content. So when we go up higher and higher and higher, we have to assume that everything we're producing in our vocabulary is coming from an outside source. Our pool, which is our brain, just sort of has absorbed some of the opinions and ideas we have as our library of mental content. So we do have a library that we've collected of mental content that we can rely on, but most of our conversation is based upon outside sources that are filtered through our brain and either pass the pro or con conception. And that's really the language of more on a more advanced stage of being a psychic. We're filtering sources from an outside realm and presenting it into our pool, our brain, and unscrambling it in a way that we can communicate by either a word or a sentence.
So in regard to this person that we've been discussing, grading him or her or it on a level of being able to tap into that pool, what would you give him, her?
You want me to grade?
Yeah, I want a grade.
Well,
on this person, give this person a grade.
It's a crude way of interpreting, but
well,
if you wanted me to grade.
Oh, give me a break. You ask for a grade all the time.
I'd give him a B.
A B?
Yeah.
That's generous.
I'd give him a B.
A B.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Well, a
I think
B is
you're
not
being,
an A.
No, but I think that's generous.
No,
I mean, I would give him
C,
a B minus.
I'd give him a B. I'd
her.
Give him a B. Her a B.
It.
Yeah, I'd go that far because, you know, that was just a clip. But I've seen other things.
Well, we've watched other
this
clips.
This person's done that. But I thought, okay, there's something there. Now,
there's
you
something
know, the
there,
television
I agree.
Editing job on the television and having these people, I mean, some of the things that this person came up with and the reaction from the people pertaining to what he came up with.
See.
I come up with those things and didn't get that kind of reaction. So a lot of this play, you know, I've come up with more intense things and didn't get a
well,
reaction.
I mean, that's another, but that's also, there's conditions.
Theatrical gesturing.
There may be theatrical gesturing on the show, but there, I've seen, you know, there many times people do not give that type of reaction with information that's presented to them that's intensely psychic. They're just, it's like, oh, you know,
yeah.
Move on to the next. But I've also seen people overreact to information that's been provided to them on this show.
Now, the other part of the psychic phenomena game is making predictions.
That's a
whole
different category. Yeah.
How in the hell can a psychic make a prediction? Well, do you see me getting the house? Well, I don't know what's in my future. Do you see anything? I'm not even going to lead you to a subject matter. What do you see? Oh, and then the psychic presents a scenario about what might happen in the future. And I've done that too in my years, said something from scratch and it came true. I've also made predictions that were based on some platform of knowledge as to the outcome, and I've been wrong too. This isn't, basically, when you get into the Amazing Randy, and he goes, well,
He's dead, by the way.
Everybody's about 50-50, so what? But a psychic, he proposed if you're really a psychic, take this test. And none of the psychics would take it,
right,
including John Edwards.
Talked about this. John Edward.
nobody would take this test because it was probably ridiculously designed to for someone to lose, and he could proclaim the guy's a phony or the girl's a phony. But the idea that that when you are making a prediction or you're looking at the outcome of something, there is no communication except the person says, well, the angel Michael, the
archangel,
whatever, told me, or my angels are telling me.
Yeah, but then you talk about, I mean, you're talking about predictions like on an individual level. Do you get the house? Do you see me getting a new house? But then, you know, let's talk about predictions on it. And people do this. I mean, people on Blog Talk Radio at the end of the year or the beginning of the new year say, what's going to happen for 2025? You know, this is what I see happening. And they come up with a broad list, you know, and they may post it on their website or they have a show about it. I mean, making world predictions versus making, I mean, jumping from making predictions about whether someone's going to get a boyfriend or a house and then saying, well, you know, Trump is going to be president. I see the Twin Towers falling and incorporating that into fictional content that's really not fictional on one level of interpretation. I mean, that's a huge, huge leap.
Well, I'll tell you, something hugely weird.
Hugely.
A brief story about the Titanic.
Make it brief because we're going to be ending early today.
Okay. A brief story about the Titanic. There was a cat, a mascot cat on the Titanic ship that used to sail on the ship, and it was fed and it became sort of the pet cat of the Titanic.
Okay.
But on the last voyage of the Titanic, one of the stewards saw the cat taking all of its little kittens one by one off the ship. And he noticed the cat carrying down the plank all her kittens and placing them on the dock until they were all parted. And the steward was watching this and got a chill down his back and said, I'm not going on this voyage. And we know what happened on that voyage. Now, that's a true story. That's you can find on the internet. It's a true story.
Yeah, because everything the internet says is true.
Well,
no, I believe
story.
That it's a true,
it's
story,
a true story,
but I'm just I'm making it
so,
up.
You know, the intuition of animals is amazing.
Well,
it's
yeah,
amazing.
And they obviously have some kind of connection to the environment and nature and the movements of the earth or the ocean that they're able to perceive things that humans can't, obviously. I mean, this is the amazing thing about animals. We were talking about animal intelligence, I think, on the last show, and the things that animals can do that people can't. So most people would not have disembarked that boat, that planned to return to the boat, like the workers, and decided not to go on the next journey, except the person who witnessed the cat taking the kittens off the boat.
And if you don't believe us, you can ask Tigger the Tiger from Winnie the Pooh that animals are an amazing thing. Their heads are made of rubber. Their tails are made out of springs.
Well, you know what? It's really funny today is in our feed, I got to tell you, talking about things on the internet that aren't true, and this has nothing to do with psychic energy, and then we're going to close the show. In our feed, someone posted this. It's a meme, I guess. And it pictured Beyonce and George Lucas as a child. It says, this is the side of Beyonce the internet does not show you. When she was young, she saw this young boy, it's well written, young boy crying along the road. She asked him if he was okay, and the boy said, it's my birthday and I want to buy a Darth Vader toy, but I don't have any money. Beyonce gave him $100. She told the boy, don't be sad anymore, follow your dreams. Believe it or not, that boy grew up to be George Lucas. I mean, first of all, Darth Vader was a creation of George Lucas.
Yeah.
It's very funny. Okay, we're back on the air, hopefully on Blog Talk Radio on what day? Wednesday, 10 a.m. or 9 a.m., depending. And we hope to hear from some of you then. Bye-bye.